Certainly count it a blessing to be in your presence this morning and in the Lord's presence, and feel unworthy of both, but we're still thankful. No place I'd rather be. And we want to ask you to pray for me as we come before you at this time, and pray that what we have on our minds and our hearts will be of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. As in most of the Apostle Paul's epistles, whenever he closes the epistle, he has salutations and instructions, you know, to specific individuals. And a lot of times it can be, you know, if we're not careful, we can just kind of read over those things. You know, we like to read letters that are written to us and or to those that we're familiar with, you know, because we are familiar with them. But if somebody else reads those letters that they don't have any idea of who we are, anything about our ancestry or our whims and so forth, it's probably not very interesting to them. But of course, in the Scripture, every word of God's word ought to be interesting to us. It ought to be important to us, because it is God's word, and it is God's word to us, to God's people. The entirety of the Scripture is written to us, every bit of it. You know, it just makes my skin crawl, like when you scratch your fingernails on a chalkboard. When some people get the idea and even express it, well, you know, what does the Book of Chronicles have to do with anything? Or what does it have to do with me? Or in the case of the Scripture before us, you know, sometimes those parts of Scripture that are addressed specifically, say, to men or husbands, the wives say, well, you know, that doesn't pertain to me. Or the verses of Scripture that are written specifically to the wives, the husband may say, well, that, you know, I can skip over that. Well, I hope that you don't have that attitude, but I do know, and I have encountered a few people in my life that's the attitude that they have. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. And again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read behind those that are. And when he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to all, that's, you could add that, it's profitable to all for doctrine. It's not just profitable to the preacher. It's not just profitable to the church. It's not just profitable to certain individuals. It's profitable to all. That's included in the understanding of that. That all Scripture, every word of Scripture, is profitable to us all. In some way, you know, it may be profitable in a different way to the preacher than it is to the sisters in the church, but it's still profitable to all in some way. You know, sometimes there's just things that you need to know. You know, there's some things you just need to know. Some things you just didn't need to know about. You know, they may not directly pertain to you, but you just need to know those things. So, with all that in mind, the Apostle Paul closes, as he begins to close this particular book, he says in verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, this expression, quit you like men, is an interesting expression. In fact, we find that, first of all, that the word acquit actually means to act manly. To act manly. Because see, this is why it's so important to study the Scriptures. quit you like men is one word in the Greek. And that word, one word in the Greek means to act manly. To be, you know, to act like a man ought to act. Now, as you study that word, and as you, or as I've studied that word, and, you know, invite you to study the word doesn't just mean that to act manly, that you've got to work out in the gym every day, you know, get your biceps all pumped up and you know, and be able to deadlift 100 pounds and, you know, run, you know, a marathon and all those kinds of things. But it has rather a reference to, and as part of the definition, you know, to act manly means to be what a man's supposed to be according to God's definition of the word, which is, first of all, he's a fellow. That word fellow is an old English word, and it means just what you think it means, fellow. And the reason that that word is important is because the only way that that word is ever used, it's referring to the male gender. There's no crossing over. You know, it's a fellow. To those who use that word, in its inception in the English language, they knew what a fellow was. They had, I can't think of what it was right now, but they had other words for the ladies. But a fellow was a fellow. He was a man. There was no contradistinction about what was being talked about. So quit you like men here just simply means to act manly. Another interesting thing about this word, it's the only time it appears in the New Testament. The one and only time that it appears in the New Testament. The idea to just, you know, back up a little bit here to kind of build hopefully a little bit of a foundation. There's a couple of places in the Old Testament where at least the same idea is being expressed. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 12, for instance, we have a situation here where the Syrians have surrounded Joab. And Joab was the chief captain of the army of David, or the army of Israel. And they had surrounded them. I mean, and they were outnumbered, like 100-1. And the way that he encouraged them was he said, quit you like men. He tells them he says, let us play the men for our people. Let us play the men. Well, if you don't know what they have in consideration, you know, it's kind of hard to play. Let us play. You know, let us play. Let us act like men. And if you don't know how a man's supposed to act, then how are you going to follow that admonition? Well, of course, you know, God strengthened them and God blessed them to let us play the man. And they were able to be delivered. In fact, they were mightily delivered from that situation. And they understood, of course, that they could do that because their strength is in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Well, if the Apostle Paul is writing this to the church at Corinth, first of all, we have to decide, is he writing it just specifically to the men in the church, or is he addressing it to the church? Well, you know, since we're, you know, limited with our time here this morning, I submit to you that he's writing it to the church. This is one of those instances where the Apostle Paul is using an example, and he's applying it, an example of a single thing, and applying it to the whole. You know, quit you like men. It would be like, you know, many places in the scripture, like where the ministry are compared to the oxen. Over and over, you know, God's servants that he calls, over and over, they're likened unto oxen. You know, they're to bear the yoke and to be steady and so forth. Well, in a similar way, the Apostle Paul is using a picture here, a word picture. Now, when we look at men from God's perspective, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," you know, that's that word that he meant what he said. Now, he did say, you know, that in the image of God created he them. It was in the man, the first person, the first human being that was ever created, that God put in that man the, what would be the best way to say this, the genes or the genetics, so that from that single creation, he would create the entirety of the population of the world that was to come. And that he put in the man, that he put in the first individual that he created, that's what he did. Now, of course, he took, you know, he didn't then create, he created a separate being, but he didn't create her separately. Now, follow me. He didn't create her separately. He took a rib from the man's side, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof, and he made a woman. And he said, and he gave Adam the understanding. If the first man understood this, would to God that all the rest of men would understand this. That he said that he called her woman because she came from where? From man. Now she's a separate, you know, she's a human being. She's separate and apart in that sense. But she came from the man. And you know, Satan knows that, doesn't he? Satan knows that. And Satan's got sense enough to know that the only way that he can bring about some of the vile, ungodly things that he's brought about in this world is that he's got to convince men that the way God did it is not really the way it actually is, or that God intended for it to be some other way, or that it's okay with God, you know, to do the awful things that men and women do in this world. Okay, enough of that. But all that's important. Because if we're going to understand what Paul says to quit you like men, if he's going to tell the church, which by the way, the church is always spoken of in what gender? The feminine. She, her, or it sometimes. But it's in the feminine. Because the church is the Lord's bride. Okay? If he's going to speak to the whole church, and he's going to say to the church that he wants to quit you like men, well, then we need to think about, you know, what was on Paul's mind, what's on the Lord's mind as far as what he's telling the church to be. Well, I think, you know, again, in the interest of time, it's the two words that follow the comma. Quit you like men, comma, be strong. That's the idea. As far as God's concerned, you know, he and the Apostle Paul dwells on this in another place, that God created the man, Adam, and all men to come from his loins from that point forward to be strong. And he created the woman. Everybody leave their rock at home. He created the woman to be the weaker vessel. She didn't just happen to be that way. God could have made Eve as strong as he did Adam. God could have created the woman the same way that he created the man. But he didn't. God had a purpose in all of that. The ultimate purpose is for his glory, of course. And of course, you know, I'm trying real hard not to go there because I want to stay here. Because my point, and I trust, you know, it's what's on my heart this morning, as the Apostle Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth, man, woman, and child, brothers and sisters in the church, he's telling the church to quit you like men. He's not just talking to the brethren. He's telling the church that it's important. In fact, he's commanding them. This is actually in that Greek tense that it's a commandment. He's not asking them to do this if it's okay for you to do it. If you feel like it, you know, it's, you know. No, he's commanding them by the authority of the Spirit of God that I want you as the church to be a man. Even though in most other places you're referred to as her or she. But in what you're to stand for, in your identity as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I want you to be a man. I want you to be strong like a man. Be a Samson. You know, be strong. There's nothing, and really and truly, in my little experience in the ministry, in traveling across this country, I think there's no sadder sight than a weak body of believers, especially when they don't have to be that way. And you know, I don't know how many people were in the church at Corinth. Probably quite a few. But the apostle doesn't say, be strong if your numbers will support it. Right. No, he just says, be strong, period. They quit you like men, comma, be strong. Now, again, you know, there's a lot to say here, and that's important. I mean, if we're going to survive in the world in which we find ourselves in the world in which the church has always found herself in, you know, things are bad. Things are bad in the United States of America today. We're still being blessed. You know, I know that for no other reason than the fact that we're still here. We need a lot of things to be different. We would love for a lot of things to be different. But even if it gets worse, and it has the potential of getting worse. Yeah. And if it does get worse, I want to tell you something. Don't be surprised. Yeah. We're tempting the Lord as a nation.
Amen.
If any nation in this world has ever tempted God at this point in our history, the United States of America is tempting the Lord. So we need to be strong. We need to be strong. Okay, a man, a father, a husband, a son, you know, as, you know, you need to be strong. You need to quit you like men. You need to, and like those men said back over in 1 Samuel, let us be strong, let us quit ourselves like men for our families, or for our nation. I think it's the actual word, but that's what they're talking about. Here we are in a position, we're fighting a battle. And if we lose this battle, we know what's going to happen to our families. Okay, they were out there on the battlefield facing the Ammonites, who I think it was the Ammonites that had been hired by the Syrians, or the other way around. And here's the Ammonites and the Syrians. Here's an army of trained fighting men who that army is larger than the army of Israel. And from a logistic standpoint, Israel is not in a good position. But they didn't look at it from a logistic standpoint. They looked at it from the standpoint of who they were as God's people, as the nation of God. And they said to one another, "Quit you like men. Let us be strong in the Lord. Our God will deliver us." And that's where we need to be today. We need to learn from that. I need to learn from that as a man, as a husband, as a father. And we all can learn from that. Even though we may be a daughter or a wife or a mother, the lesson is generic in that sense. It applies to us all. We all need to be strong and quit ourselves like men, to be steadfast, to be like the old snapping turtle. I don't know if it's true or not. And I'll tell you right up front, I'm not going to go find a snapping turtle to prove if it's true or not. I've heard all my life that if a snapping turtle snaps you and gets a hold of you, that what is it has to happen before they let go? You know, I'd be beating on a, Brother Jamie, I'd be beating on a number two wash tub. I'd be simulating if it's true. But if it's true, then we need to be like the old snapping turtle. When we get a hold of this, we don't need to let go. We need to be strong. We need to quit quit you like men. And just a few more minutes. He says, "Watch ye." Quit you. Now, you know, you've heard me say that there's a difference between ye and a difference between you. Okay, watch ye. That's Paul's, that's that tense in the English, the old English, that it applies to us all as a whole. Yeah. But it's we use the word ye so that it's as if the whole was only one of us, that you were the only one. You know, in other words, think about it, that Paul's writing that to me, as if I'm the only one. He's writing it to Brother Clayton, as if he's the only one. He's writing it to you, as if you're the only one. He's telling us, you personally take this seriously. Right. And that's important, because strength, one definite thing that can improve the strength of any situation is when you take the strength of a single item and you combine it with the strength of other single items and you work them together, however way you want to do it. You can weave them together. You can fasten them together. You know, you can do all kinds of things. I mean, look at the clothes that we all have on, they amount to nothing but single threads. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you were to reduce them down to single threads, first of all, we'd be embarrassed. But second of all, you could take that thread and, it wouldn't be anything. But by the process of weaving, by the process of bringing those single threads together, you have something that is stronger than any of the individual parts. Right. That defines the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason that in other places in the scripture, we're commanded to admonish one another, to pray for one another, et cetera, et cetera. Because God recognizes that we as individuals, that we need one another. That by ourselves, we are nothing. And we need to be reminded that a lot of times. But when we can come together, when we can pray together, when we can sing together, when we can worship together, when we can fellowship together, when we can just do everything together. And listen, I think we have sense enough to know that we don't always have to physically be together to do things together. Now, sometimes we have to. That's one reason it was such a grief of heart to us during this COVID-19 situation when we were told not to be together.
Right.
You know, that just didn't set well with us, did it? Because
no.
We know we need one another. We need to be together.
That's right.
From time to time so that we can strengthen one another, so that we can encourage one another. And we can be strong and quit ourselves like men to follow the examples. And see, I hadn't even got to that part. You know, that God created the man to be the head of the household.
Right.
I mean, that's God's way. He didn't make the man to be better than the woman just because he made him to be the head of the household. But that's the role that he gave him. As provider, as strength, as leader. Not only in natural things, but in spiritual things. And God made him to fill that role, and he gave him what he needed to fill that role. And he teaches him from his word how to fill that role. And he promises that he'll give him of his spirit to fill of that role. Listen, being a man's a hard job. Being a father's a hard job. Being a husband, I should have put that first, you know. Man, husband, and then father, okay. It's a hard job. Yes, ladies, I know I know your job is hard too. But listen. And I'm going to close with this. There was a reason why Paul said, he didn't say, quit you like women. You know, I read a few commentators that said, you know, Paul hated women. I don't think so. I think he loved them as much as he did the men that he had to do with. I've heard some people say that, you know, God hates women. No, he doesn't. He doesn't hate it. He doesn't hate any of his people. He hates our ways, of course, but he loves his people. And if, you know, God created them, male and female, created he them. That was, you know, that's God's way. God did it that way for a purpose and for a reason. I don't find anywhere in the scripture, even though the scripture uses the masculine pronouns, etc., when it's speaking of God, but I don't find anywhere, and even though Jesus Christ came into the world as a man, but that's for our benefit. That's for the creation that God created. God's neither male nor female. And if all that bothers you, and I said I'd close a minute ago. I'm going to close this time. If any of that bothers you, well, just let me just give you something that ought to encourage you. There's coming a day you won't have to worry about that.
That's right.
In fact, God is so specific about it. He says that when that time comes, there'll be neither male nor female. but will be in the Lord. Will be made like unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the battle between the sexes and all this be taken care of. It's already been taken care of if we just follow God's word. Amen.